I want to share with you something that touched me. I want to talk about how we hear God's voice, and especially the barriers to hearing God's voice. And I want to show you how God works. I had somebody say something. I wish God talked to me as often as he talks to you. I am not anybody special in this world of 7 billion people. I'm just a me that lives in a town most people have never heard of. Teach at a school, come to a church most people have never heard of. But in God's economy, I'm a 1 in 7 billion. And you are too. And he talks to me, and I want him to talk to me. And that's why I think so many times he talks to me is because I seek him, and I want him to. It reminds me, as a teacher of my kids, I used this example on Tuesday night a week or so ago, that my kids, sometimes they want to answer a question, and they know the answer. And they get so excited, and they raise their hand, and they go, me, pick me, pick me. And I think of, I hear some feedback there. I don't think it's me bouncing up and down. But I think of the verse that says, God's eyes roam to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for those whose hearts are turned toward him. And these kids get so excited, they want me to call on them. Now, God's a better teacher than I am. And I think when we raise our hands, he's like, he's looking for who wants to praise him, who wants to have God give them attention. And so try it. Next time you worship, I know it's crazy for some people. They're like, I never thought I would raise my hands. I mean, I was raised in a church that you didn't even bend over to tie your shoes while you were in church. Even if they came untied, it was just quiet and stayed and everything was prim and proper. But I can't keep my hands down anymore because I want God to come looking. Well, I want to tell you how he did this. 4 weeks ago, Pastor Bill started talking about spiritual sight. Do you remember the eyes, the glasses that he had? And then 3 weeks ago, Pastor Bill and Catherine D'Ambrosia were here, and they talked. In fact, I went back and looked through. See, these are worth so much because I went back and looked through because I thought it was just 2 weeks ago. It was so real, but it was actually 3 weeks. And they talked about, they expounded a little bit on spiritual sight and how we hear God. That still small voice, the Bible, other believers, visually maybe signs, symbols, and dreams, perhaps words of knowledge or prophetic leanings were the five that they mentioned. And I was making notes in here while they were talking, and I wrote down these words. Are there any barriers for me to hear God? I wrote down these words. And then I was taking some more notes, and I thought, I wonder if Bill's going to be going out of town soon. Because when God starts talking to me like that, I know he's putting together something. So 2 weeks ago, the week after, Bill asked, he said he was going out of town, and he asked if I'd be willing to preach. And of course, yes. And in his message, his last point 2 weeks ago in a plan to spiritually grow was accept how growth arrives. Listen, learn, and lean into. And that afternoon, I was driving around, and there was some static on my car radio. And it was my favorite song. And as I get close to the mountains, there's one of the Christian songs that fade in and out, and you just really hear. It was not. In fact, it kind of irritated me. I'm like, no, that's my favorite song. So the next morning, I'm in my quiet time, and I'm actually looking for a piece of paper to make a new prayer list. Mine has gotten long, and I have scribbles and all that, so I wanted to make a new prayer list. And I opened the drawer to my desk, and this little notebook has been in there for, I don't know, years. Some of the notes I know are years ago. And I flipped it open to the back, and you know, this isn't, but this was what was on the back page of this notebook written about 5 years ago. Barriers to hearing God. Sin, time, ambivalence or apathy, trials, illiterate, and competing voices, static. Now, I had written a note in here the week before about barriers to God. I'd heard static on the radio the night before, and it irritated me. And then I opened up my notebook, and here's this little note with an outline. I don't even know when or why I took that, okay? Is that God talking to you? You bet. Now, you know my preference? I would love it if I just have some quiet time and sit down. He would give me the whole outline, and I'm sure Bill would like that too, with all the notes and all the scripture references. It didn't work that way. He doesn't give us the blueprint up front, which is probably one of the most frustrating parts of being a human and being a believer, is because I really shouldn't even say it this way, because God doesn't do it my way, right? I don't know if you ever feel that or not, but part of the spiritual growth is learning how to listen. And Jesus promised you will hear his voice. Not that you might, you will. But often there are big barriers, big ones, that you have to break down first. My barriers, God didn't put the barriers there. Every relationship requires communication. Have you noticed that? Sending and receiving, talking and listening. And our relationship, God, no different. And I hope you know that God wants to hear your voice. If you don't believe me, well, believe him. Let's look at two of my favorite scriptures. Everybody knows practically Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Heard that one before? That's great, for God has a plan, but my favorite are 12, 13, and 14, and they're so overlooked because everybody stops at 29:11. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There we go. It's not my words. God said he's listening to you. He's listening for you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You will find him. You will find him. He will talk to you. He listens, and we find him. When we're seeking after him. When we're seeking after him. And we're going to talk about some of those seeking afters here in a minute. But I want to just remind you that God wants to hear our voices. Jesus said, though, that God also wants us to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. That was the second. Oh, sorry. That was one of my favorite. How can I skip that one? Call to me and I will answer. This is God talking, not Ruth, not Jeremiah. Call to me and I will answer and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I, God, will answer. So we got to call out to him. Well, and then he wants us to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a sheep farm. Most of us today probably have little or no idea really what that verse means. And I'm going to try this video. Craig was so awesome. He spent so much time trying to download this morning, but let's see if it works. This is from Norway. American tourists trying to call the sheep. Watch the sheep.
One more time.
Oh, what?
That brings tears to my eyes. When I lived in New York, I took my school kids on a field trip to a plantation, and I saw this. I remember one of the dads, we both looked at each other, and like, I have never seen scripture walk in front of my eyes. There were sheep and goats and deer, and not deer, but maybe there was, but all over the whole plantation, just wandering around, and the kids would have some kind of snack, and they'd go, come here, sheep, baa, baa, come here, sheep. Nothing would happen. The goats would always come, but the sheep wouldn't. And then before we were leaving, we saw this man walk through. We were headed toward the parking lot. This man walked through, and he started, and I won't do it super loud, but he started going, sheep, sheep. I had no idea there were so many sheep on that campus. They started coming through the park everywhere just because they knew his name. Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I don't mind being a sheep when Jesus is my shepherd, okay? So first thing we just settled is that God is speaking to us, and he wants us to hear him. That just, the scripture settles that clearly. We've settled God's part. Now let's kind of take a look at ours. Some people think they can't hear God speak unless they have some prophetic gift or some other spiritual gift or a special ministry. But this is not true. God wants to have a relationship with every one of us individually. That's why Jesus paid the price of his life on the cross. Communicating with our Father is the basic right of sons and daughters and the joy of our daddy in heaven. It's what we are created for, guys. Never be intimidated by somebody else's spiritual gift or the way another person hears from God. He has uniquely wired and created each one of us to hear from him. And we hear God's voice not with our physical ears, but with our heart and the spirit that lives inside us. For example, here are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. You're reminded of a Bible verse or a story. Did you ever have that happen? 2, 3, 4, 5 times sometimes? Same Bible verse comes up, different teachers, radio program, pastors, whatever it might be. Right. An idea or an impression comes into your mind and it won't go away. Okay. You feel something emotionally or physically sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Leaders, preaching or personal instruction, God can speak through them. Dreams, yes, he can. Walking visions, like a movie in your imagination. It's kind of interesting, but it does work. The insight of another person, a trusted friend, a believer especially. Circumstances that happen that you're like, you get locked in. You lose your job. Best thing ever happened to me. I didn't think so at the time. I thought, what on earth are you doing, God? Or you get a job, or a door opens, or you move across the country, and who knows, you know, your spouses, your kids just might find their lifelong spouses when you do that, you know, whatever it might be. In the book of Acts alone, we see God speaking through prophecies, dreams, visions, angels, leaders, signs, and the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to be intentional about listening. But of course, we hear it. Jesus said we would, and he doesn't lie. He said we will hear his voice. The enemy of our soul wants to keep us doubting ourselves and doubting God. How about if we stop buying what he's selling? Okay? Hearing and knowing his voice is essential, God's voice. Here's the truth. If we don't hear God's voice, we will get totally lost. And lost sheep get eaten by wolves. But I'm sure, like me, you've heard on the radio sometimes, I was telling you about that static interferes, right? I'm going to give you a little example. I thought, oh, then maybe this doesn't work any better now than it did 20 years ago. Oh. You want to sing with that? Let's see. Oh, there it was. Seal Beach Boulevard. You want to? I can hardly hear it because of all that static, right? Sometimes you ever get that really sharp shrill? Yeah, that's no fun. Yes. Sometimes it's like it's irritating, it's exhausting. Okay, that's what static is all about. It interferes with our ability to hear. Even cell phones sometimes have to be positioned correctly to hear correctly. I have a friend that I cannot go in the back of the house. I have to stay in the living room every time she calls because we'll cut out or I'll get this. You talked earlier about being in a barrel or in a cave. You get this hollow sound or this interference. Well, I want to look at 6 things, and we jumped ahead to 1, that might act like static and interfere with our ability to hear God speaking to or leading us. The first one is going to make perfect sense. It's sin. It's sin. First, to deal with the issue of sin, we have to have a relationship with Jesus. There is no other way. In our culture today, I was surprised. I was reading an article About 56% of born-again Christians say that there is another way to Jesus. Jesus isn't the only way. That's over half. Do they not read their Bible? Because mine says, John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay, there is no other way. Then understand that a relationship with Jesus, it isn't just believing, it's doing. Go on down in that section, John 14:21. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Ouch. There's a lot of times when that verse comes up that it just feels ouchy. Ooh, you say you love me, but what about that? I won't list them. You could list your own. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. If you love me, you will obey my commands." For Christian, the barrier of sin separating us from God has already been dealt with on the cross. Sin is not the problem, but condemnation usually is, or sin consciousness. We're aware of it. And guess what? There's a scripture for that too. Romans 8:1-2. "Therefore, there is now..." How much condemnation? None, zero, for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is not optional. This is why Jesus is the only way. He died. We get the Holy Spirit inside us when we surrender to his forgiveness, his willingness, his gift to us. But some people allow shame or condemnation, or a sense of unworthiness to make them feel as though they're separated from God. I know so many people, even little kids do this, and therefore they're not able to hear his voice. "I'm so bad. I see it. I handed tests back this week. Most of the kids did really well, but a couple of them didn't. And I kind of talked to him, and it just hurts my heart to watch their face because they're saying, 'I'm stupid. I'll never get anything. What was wrong with me?' What? That is not from God, ever. That's not from God, ever. If you make the biggest mistake of your life, okay, there's no condemnation. It's already forgiven. When did he forgive it? 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the cross. Everything, even the sins you haven't committed yet have been forgiven already. That should call us to respond to him. Our inheritance as Christian believers is to live conscious of our righteousness with God. Hear that. Live conscious of. Be aware of it. Because that's the battle. That's one of the weapons that we can come back with. We should be rejoicing in the power of God's grace and forgiveness. And to know the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. It's a matter of looking at scripture and believing them. Okay? And stop letting the devil argue with you. Or you stop arguing with him. Sin loses its power when we bring it into the light. In James, we've used this verse so many times. We're instructed to confess our sins to one another, right? And we get healed. We use that on Tuesday nights all the time. If an issue of sin, addiction, temptation, bad habit, heartbreak, if it's continually troubling you, in addition to prayer, find a safe place and share with someone. Find somebody to be accountable to. And we have a great prayer, worship, learning time on Tuesday nights if you haven't heard about that before, okay? So sin is one of our first barriers, and especially in the form of condemnation once we become a believer. The next one, time. We are way too busy and then distracted by the things that keep us disconnected from God today. Work, kids, TV, phones, computers, social media, news media, sports. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get in trouble. But the Dodgers, I guess, didn't win. Okay. But I would have thought I almost needed to do funeral announcements last night when I looked at a few people on Facebook that just had emojis with tears bawling all over their screen and things like that. And is there anything wrong with that stuff? No, in and of itself. But if those things become your life, and it doesn't matter what it is, I mean, your kids can, your pets can, okay? Your business, your job, we all know those things, okay? And so time just steals us away from God. And in our world today, it is complete distraction. It is so easy to be distracted all the time. There are two examples in the Bible of what to do and what not to do. You'll know this one as soon as I get to her name. Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the prepositions. No, I'm thinking English. By all the preparations that she had to make. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus, I just love it. I hear the Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, "You're worried and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What did Mary choose? Who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, I can, when I see my stack of dishes in the sink, I can go, "Yeah, I need to go read my Bible." There's a time and a place. But I can even let busyness and housework take over and consume, especially if it's just got to be perfect. It's got to be. Mary chose the better route. And number two, my favorite, Daniel. Daniel 6:3-4. The king planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. The administrators and the satraps could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Now, how would you like for somebody to write that about you to a whole country? Wow. She was neither corrupt nor negligent. I don't know that I'm too corrupt, but I sure can be negligent. We'll move on to Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, and you know this was before he got thrown into the lion's den, that you were going to have to fall down and worship the statue, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Three times a day. Now, you want to be corrupt and not corrupt or negligent? Three times a day, get on your knees. I mean, he took his lunch break and went home. And then of all things, of course, he had the courage to, like, "No, I have to do it facing Jerusalem, and I'm going to do it in spite of the people looking right through my windows." Okay, remember, back then they didn't have curtains. Well, they might have had some curtains, but they didn't have the windows like we have today. They would have just been window openings. Wow, three times a day he got down. Why did God give us the Bible? So that we could learn from the people and the events recorded there. So how are you at talking to God at least three times a day? I've been challenged by this week. And I set an alarm. And I thought, how interesting. You know, it doesn't take long to read one chapter of the Bible. It doesn't take very long at all. And so what if three times a day, what if the church started being the example like Daniel? Could people then say that we were not corrupt and not negligent and trustworthy? That's what God's given us the word for. He had time. He was a busy government leader. Okay, I won't go there. But he had time. Three times a day he left his work, or before he got there, and checked in with God first, on his knees. And it says, just as he had done before. He didn't do it just after the announcement. He'd always been doing this. Wow. I'm challenged by that. I hope you are too. I hope you are, because time, we can all say, "I don't have time." That is a lie. We've bought into what Satan says. You have as much time as anybody else, 24 hours a day. And maybe there's some things, I know for me, I learned there are some things I just do not need to be doing anymore. I'm too busy, and it was trying to people please, not trying to please the one who mattered the most. Okay, how about the A? Ambivalence, or that's an old word, I like apathy a little better. We often struggle hearing God's voice because we don't actually listen. Yeah, I'll get to it. Yeah, I know it's important. Oh, no, he's a creator. No, we don't even think that. This is the creator of the universe that wants to talk to you. We wait for a moment, and then we get frustrated when we don't hear anything, so we quit easily. You know, it's hard to hear God's voice when you're already decided what you want him to say, too. You know, right? We're always praying about the future stuff. What about this, God? What about this? What about this? What about right now? What does he want you to do right now, today? What note does he want you to write? Okay, and it's learning to bring him into every second of our day. Or maybe you don't like what he's saying to you, so you tune him out. Uh-huh, been there, done that. That's hard. Sometimes it's very convicting. Why should God talk to people who ignore him, right? Why should he talk to people? Do you want to talk to people that ignore you? Do you want to be friends with them? God does. He loves us in spite of that. And he'll keep talking. But we get callous to it. We build our wall. I was going to bring cups and show that every time, God never leaves us. But every time we sin, we stack a brick on the wall and another brick on the wall and another brick on the wall. God didn't move. He's right there. But we keep bricking ourselves off, making a wall between him and us because of this ambivalence. Is he really that important to you? Is he really that important to me? Apathy in our response also brings a callousness in our heart to hearing his voice the next time. And that's what I was just saying. That's what we have to be careful. We keep listening, and we will notice the soft promptings. I promise. Let's look at 11, Luke 11, 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, or we could just say a parent, if they ask for a McDonald's, would you give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, it's not about the fact that someone is speaking, but it's recognizing the voice of the person, or the person that's behind the voice, rather, right? Sort of like, think about when the phone rings, you pick it up. How different is it if it's a telemarketer or if it's somebody you love? How different is it? You recognize the voice and you want to talk to them. That's what God does for us. He recognizes our voice. He's like, talk to me. Come on, talk to me some more. Talk to me some more. Now, he's not a genie in a bag. One time, I can remember laying in a sleeping bag and saying, God, talk to me. I've been praying about this. And he said so clearly, I'm not a genie that you can just conjure up anytime you want an answer. Because pride was getting in the way. I wanted God to do what I thought God should do, because I know it sounds horrible. I really wanted to be God. It was pride, you know. I wanted him to do things and do it my way and in my timing. And he was saying, mm-mm, you are not God. I am. That was humbling, very humbling. Kind of made me mad, too. But I kept going back to him in spite of it. And eventually he kind of started talking to me about that whole attitude. But the person behind the voice is the one that we want to get to know, no different on a phone as it is with our relationship with God. And if we don't, our heart will harden to hearing him. Our ears will harden to hearing him. Okay, ambivalence or apathy. The next one are trials. Trials are for developing us, not for hindering us. Oh, but they're so hard. And especially today, are any of you going through trials? Any of you? I'll hold up my hand. Thank you. That side, and down the middle. Absolutely. Hebrews 12, 4 to 11. This is a beautiful verse if you really begin to understand it. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Isn't that true? None of you have died for how hard it is. And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. Have you completely? And this comes from Proverbs. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. So in our struggles, God is disciplining us. Well, discipline in our vocabulary, we think punishment. That's not punishment. Think of a coach. When I read that now, I read coaching. God is coaching you. Do not make light of the Lord's coaching. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, when he corrects you. Doesn't a coach correct his people when they... I'm from Hoosier, originally from Indiana. I remember Bobby Knight. Man, he was known for correcting people. Yeah. But sometimes not the nicest way, but you correct your teammates so that they fix what they're doing wrong. That's what a coach is for. They're supposed to do that, and that's what God does here. It says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, his coaching, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. We could add, or daughter. So listen, this is going to sound like a crazy preacher. The harder it is you going through things right now, the greater God loves you and has his hand on you. Does that makes no sense, but it's true. I found it in my own life. Do I like it? No, not always. Well, rarely, when the things get hard. But the reality is, the harder God's hands have been on me, training me and disciplining me, the greater the outcome of my relationship with him. So he loves me even more. In fact, I would just go so far as to say, if you've gone through hard things, especially childhood and things like that, God has a super special plan for you. He really has his hand on you, and he has his hand on all of us. But the trials are for developing us, not for discouraging us. Many times we view trials, again, in light of the condemnation that we feel. God is punishing me with all this hard stuff, right? So he'll never talk to me while he's punishing me. Or it's something I did. It's something what you already did has been forgiven. Okay. Or the never-ending, why, God? Why? You know what? God is not accountable to me or to you. He never has to answer why in this world. He is God. He can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to justify it to any of us. I wish that weren't true sometimes. The other side of that is, I think we wouldn't understand it. We're not mature enough to understand it if he tried to explain it to us. You know, on this side of heaven, I don't think in this world we can understand the things that God sees and knows. And so we take that back to that Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes, like a little temper tantrum, we might think in our hearts, well, if I'm not listening to you because you haven't answered, I'm not going to listen to you because you haven't answered me about, nobody ever does that, right? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I can remember temper tantrums I've had too. They didn't work. They didn't work when I was little. They didn't work with my kids, and they don't work with God either. Okay? They're just immaturity. Okay? So let's move on. That was the rest of the trials that we go through. And this is where he's saying, enduring hardship as discipline. Endure it. God is treating you as his children. That's what I said, you know, that he actually loves you. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. So that's all the more proof that God loves you, that you're going through hard things. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? My dad was very harsh, but he taught us to work our tails off. Okay, I mean, literally, for the time I was five, going, he had a bakery route. St. Paul Bakery in St. Paul, Indiana. And I'd have to get up at 3 in the morning, 2:30 or 3 in the morning, go in the truck with him, and then we'd stop at different, we'd go, walk into this bakery. Now, that was sweet, no pun intended, but because I can remember one time walking in and all of these glazed donuts were coming out of the oven at the same time, and they would fall down into, and so I actually got, every time you went, you got a free donut. But I would have to, we'd be in the truck, he'd have all these racks of donuts, and he'd say, okay, we're stopping here, and I need one carton of glaze and one carton of sprinkles, and I'd have to do the boxes and put them together. We had to work. But you know what? Every job I've ever had, I work circles around the people. And I don't despise it at all. I know how to work hard. When I play, I know how to play hard too, and there's the balance. But we just view the trials as being so, so tough. And we've submitted to fathers, and we love them for it. We respected them for it because they do train us. And how much more is God training us? Okay, now let's move to the illiterate. Okay, we're not going to move to the illiterate. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Ooh, there's your reason for the discipline. To make us holier and holier. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Hey, the writer of Hebrews understands exactly what we know. But painful later. Later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let it train you. Okay? It's not a distraction to hearing God. It's not because you did something wrong. All the more time sometimes to surrender completely and say, God, this is hard. I need you. I need you. What do you want? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? Which bill do I pay? Which place do I go and apply for a job? Is there a job I could go out and apply for? Whatever it might be. Is it time to retire? Is it time to change places? Is it time to move? Those are all things that when we're going through hard things, he's very well grooming us for something. We're going to do illiterate. Illiterate. And it doesn't just mean we're unable to read and write, by the way. But I looked it up in a dictionary. Illiterate means having or demonstrating very little or no education or displaying a lack of knowledge in a particular field. Okay. Whoa, illiterate when it comes to, that has to be God's word. Has to be God's word. If you're illiterate in the Bible today, I'm just going to say it. It's no one fault but your own. If you're illiterate in the Bible today, I am shocked at how many people really do not know what the Bible says. There are hundreds of translations in paper or online. You can read or you can have them read to you, and it's all free. There is no excuse. Period. One of the things God challenged me years ago, I don't watch much TV anymore because for every hour of TV I had to watch, I had to spend an hour in the Bible. Well, I said I loved him more than everything in the world, but apparently not when I'd spend 5-6 hours a day watching TV and 20 minutes with him in the morning. I could say one thing, and I'm only talking about me, but I could say one thing with my mouth. But my actions were saying something completely different. I had a problem with TV watching. Okay, which, by the way, that was back when it was a little even more healthy than it is today. So, but 4, 5, 6 hours, and that's what the average, 5 hours a day on a phone or on a TV or on a computer is what the average person, including children, spend today. Well, do you spend 5 hours a day reading God's word, talking to him, praying to him? I'm just asking, okay? So let's look at, yeah, I can't believe I snorted. We looked at John, not because that's a, no, we're not there. Oh, I didn't put that one up. We looked at John 14:21 earlier. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. How can you obey his commands and not know what they are? Right? How can you obey them? Well, I didn't know God's word. Oh, God's word doesn't say that. I cannot tell you how many Christians, and I'm not doubting their Christianity, Their maturity is lacking. How many Christians don't know what the Bible says about some major issues in our culture today? Don't take my word for it. And it's not, in fact, I had a discussion with somebody this week, and they're like, well, what do you think? This is, you know, this church, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? And I said, it doesn't matter what I think. What does the Bible say? Amen. And boy, you know, she's like, I don't think I've ever heard it that way. And she said, I don't know. What does the Bible say? Now, this is a lady that has been a Christian for about 40 years. And I was like, well, let's start studying it together. How about, you know, once a week when you call, I'll tell you which verses, which chapters I've been reading, and you tell me, oh, I don't know, you know. So I may never hear from her again. But it doesn't matter what I think. Even as a pastor, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God's word says. So we looked at that. And if you know what God's commands are and you don't obey them, you'll be forming that callousness to hear him in all the other areas if you ignore him in this one too. Because that's not just sin as in condemnation, but that's just active sin. Well, I can't get rid of everything. No, that's an excuse though. What are you doing about the areas that you need to get rid of or correct or whatever? Now, caution here. Don't depend on others to tell you what God's word means. Sermons are great if they reveal God's word, but you should be reading more of the word on your own than listening to sermons. Right? How about Daniel's 3 times a day? Right? There are a lot of folks, I don't even listen, and I'm sorry to say this, but there just aren't very many. And when some of you saw it posted, when a hamburger chain has more courage than your local pastors, our church is in trouble. I don't mean C4 Church. We just have one of the neatest God-fearing, God-preaching pastors that I've been, and I mean that with all my heart. Love you, Bill. but we do, and we're blessed, with several around here. But don't go home, turn that Christian TV on. There's several that I've had to stop watching because in light of what I'm learning in God's word, I'm like, you can't compromise on that. You can't never talk about sin. Bible talks about it a lot. Yeah, we should talk about joy and all the other things too, right? So sermons are great, But go back to Daniel's three times a day. Why not read, like I said, one chapter morning, noon, and night? Just start with the Psalms, 150 Psalms. If you read three a day, now I'll grant you, I'll give you permission when you come to Psalm 119, split it out over all three of them in one day, because that takes longer. But honestly, three a day, 50 days, and you'd have the whole book of Psalms read. And there are so many things. In fact, you're going to read and you're going to, oh, that's Chris Tomlin's song. Oh, that's Phil Wickham's song. Oh, that's Chris Tomlin's song. You're going to find that in Psalms over and over. And you're going to find a David much like you and I. So many times in despair. I'm lost. They're out to get me, God. I don't know what to do. Get them. He says that sometimes. Not quite that way, but get them. Take them out. You know, destroy them. Wipe them from the face of the earth. You ever feel that way too? You know? But, and so you will find there God can talk to you through those. Okay, the last one. Competing voices. Competing voices. This is big in our culture too, because we have voices everywhere. Shut some of them off. You know, shut them off. I'm talking about the media, the social media, the, I don't want to say news media, because there's no such thing. Not much such thing anyway. But listening to or taking advice from others who don't have the same values as you do. What about all those channels you follow? I'm surprised even today how many kids follow channels like crazy. Okay, is there anything wrong with them? No. But what are they teaching? One of the number one I hear over and over in the kids' programming, taking God's name in vain. Oh my. Over and over and over and over. Okay. And what happens as you hear that over and over and over and over? Being a people pleaser is competing voices. Afraid to say no to others who don't have the same values you do. Yeah. Dr. John Townsend is one of my favorite, and this part I got as soon as I saw that competing voices, because it even starts with a C. And when I was at the Celebrate Recovery Summit, he always speaks at the Celebrate Recovery Summit. And he's the boundaries guy, John Townsend, Henry Cloud. And he, years ago, he did a talk on leadership, and he talked about the three kinds of people in Proverbs. There's three kinds. There's wise people, and isn't that what we want to be, right? We want to be wise. There's foolish people, which is where we fall sometimes in that role. And then there's evil people, which are the ones you need guns, lawyers, and monies for. That's what Mr. Townsend said, Dr. Townsend said, guns, lawyers, and money for the evil ones to keep them away. But this year, he was talking about seven categories. He took those and took them into seven categories of people we need to have, we do have in our life, whether we need them or not. We do have them in our life. And they all start with the letter C. And so you're going to have to write them down because I didn't put them up there. But the first one, and when you think in light of who's giving feedback into your life, these made sense to me. The first one is a coach. And a coach is somebody who knows something that you don't. They know how to do something that you don't. But they're a bit, do you ever have anybody in your life, they're a bit intimidating to you because they don't need you, but you would like to have a relationship with them, sort of like a mentor. Do you know people like that in your life? I hope so, because so few people have somebody. You could pay for it, but so few people have somebody like this, but it's somebody who has, I call it a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad, who has the permission to speak into my life, and they've been through things, and they know how to counsel you, or they have the freedom to correct you, too. Wait, you know, what did you just do at the grocery, you know, those kind of things. So the first one is a coach. The second one is a comrade, and that's a military term. Comrades, you're in the battle together. And these would be people who walk through life, they grow with you. Now, this doesn't happen much anymore today. I was just talking with a friend yesterday who's moving to Texas. And just a dear friend, of one of the first people I met in California when I moved here 35 years, 36 years ago. Maybe not that long, but close to it. And they're moving, and I just felt this hole in my heart. I'm like, no, because they're the comrades. In fact, there have been twice that I worked with this person. We should all have three. He suggested 3 to 10. I think we'd be challenged to find people who had 10 comrades. They know all about you, and they still love you. It's what we find in Celebrate Recovery a lot, but you can find some other ones there too. But we find these a lot. These are the three. Pick three. Three people. We need these people input into our life. We need to spend time with them. And then the next one are the casual people and the colleagues, the next two, because they're kind of in the same. This is your farm team for your comrades. Casual could be your neighbors, people you live next to or do school kids. If you have school kids, it could be parents, could be sports teams. And the colleagues, of course, are your coworkers. And these are people you might not have a choice to spend time with, but you're studying them and watching. Wow, would they make a good best friend? If not, you can have a casual relationship. You could have a colleague relationship, but it doesn't mean you need to be hanging out with them and spending time with them. And you evaluate that. And that's what we need to do. Remember the wise, the foolish, and the evil. The fourth one that he talked about was care. People that we care for. They need us. Homeless people, maybe. Hopeless people. Hurting people. That's, and Jesus told us, we're supposed to minister to them. We need some of them in our life. People, they have nothing to give back to us whatsoever. But we can help in some way. It's not permanent, hopefully. In fact, if they are, they'll fall in the last two categories, which move in the realm of the evil. So, but they're the care people, the people that need us. They come in. They come into our church sometimes. And we do what we can. We walk them through. We help them find a job. We give them food. Once in a while, we pay a bill for them if we can. Whatever it might be. And that might be some of us, too. We lose a job. And the church has to come. That's perfectly okay. That's what we're here for, right? We care for people. Well, there are two other ones that fall in the bottom category. And sadly, and I see this in recovery, so many times in our life, if you're not careful, these two can be the ones that take up all of your time, and you don't make time for the ones that are better to have in your life. The first one are the chronic ones, the chronics. You know who they are. Always in crisis. Trauma and drama. You know what I'm talking about? They have a flat learning curve because they never learn. They never see their own actions. They got into this. And I'm going to have to do this and this and this to get out of it. And, well, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. So it's trauma and drama. And we love them. And here's how you help them or they go away. You've given them assignment. Okay, yes, I'll help. And can you do this and this and this? Most of the time, they won't come back. Because they don't want to do this and this and this. You know, sure, my friend, how about we call and I'll do, because I was looking, I'd already talked to God about Daniel three times a day, and I'm like, okay, maybe some accountability here. I'll do this and this. How about you call? When you call, you tell me what we've been reading every day. Just jot it down real quickly. Oh, well, I don't know if I have time for that. That tells me right away, right? More in the chronic that you've been a Christian for 40 years and you're still not reading your Bible on a regular basis. You know, I'm talking regular, even once a week. Okay, that's a chronic kind of person. They will drain us. We've got to be patient with them, but we need boundaries to stop those people. And the last one is the contaminants. This is what Dr. Cloud called them, the contaminants. And they're evil and bad people. They only take and they never give. And it's all about control. If they do give, it's about controlling and manipulating you to do something for them. Okay, these folks are, we need, in fact, even Jesus had said to wipe your feet, right? Proverbs 4:23. I think I have this one up here. No, I don't have that one up there. I have it here. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So these are the ones we got to watch letting people into our hearts, into our lives. We need boundaries that say, I can help you, and this is how you can help you. That should tell you right away whether they're a safe person or not. But the other one, Jesus even said, wipe your feet, right? In Matthew 10:14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Make sure you wipe your feet as you go. It's like, ew, what'd you get into in there, you know? Right? Amen. Right? Some people are fearful that what they're hearing might not be from God. Okay? And so they're listening to other people to tell them, well, what do you think? That is awesome. In fact, that's one of the things we talked about, is you go to someone else, that mentor, that comrade, And you're like, you know what? I've been thinking God's saying this and this. What do you think? Now, wait. Scripture says that would be taking advantage of somebody. Clearly, that's not from God. Oh, I never thought of that. See, because I can't think of everything. And you can't either. So we have these other people. And it's true that there are a lot of voices around our lives. And maturing is definitely a process, don't you think? It isn't. I mean, I haven't found anybody. Yes, I would love for God to wave his wand and make me perfect so I never made a mistake again. But you know, that's more about my pride than it is about serving God. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to hearing from God. And I think that confusion is part of the problem. With so many stories and experiences out there, right? You got enough books to read, videos, posts, blogs, vlogs. It's hard to know if there's a way to really know if we're hearing from God or not. And here's the good news. God is not a God of confusion. He is not. He is not a God who would want to confuse people by having them constantly question if they're hearing him or not. So if that's happening, it's not from God. The simple fact that he sent his one and only son to die for us proves the point that he is not a cruel God. He let his son go through the cruelty, not us. Okay? And in fact, he's a loving God. And not only that, he has made it very clear on how we can hear from him. It's our choice whether or not we'll believe him about how he says he speaks to us. It's our choice. And there's two ways we hear by God by his word. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He doesn't equip us. He doesn't talk to us so that we'll make our million and make our mark on the world and have our name on the marquee. He's doing it so that in some way we're going to serve him or serve someone else. Oh, he might. He might put our names on the marquee and he might give us the millions of dollars. And he might. But that might not be his way for me or for you. And that's okay with me. It used to not be okay with me, but it's perfectly okay with me now. And there's a strong emphasis at the beginning of these verses with the word all. How much scripture is from God? All of it. All, period. If God said it, we need to believe it. And that solves it. That's it. You know, it's over. Every little bit of scripture is breathed out by God, as in God talking to us. God himself tells us that his word is breathed out by him and is profitable for everything, so that his children might be made complete and equipped to do what he wants us to do here on earth. And there's the rub. I don't want to do it. That's got to have a different talk with God about who's in charge. But let's not miss the point that God tells us himself how he speaks to us through his word. And the fact that we as followers of Jesus, need his word to make us complete. That means we're lacking without it. And we won't be equipped if we don't listen to God as he speaks to us from the Bible. So that's the first one. The second one, we hear God by following Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. Right? I don't know what word they were saying. It was Norwegian, and so he was saying something about food. But the sheep knew his voice, not the other people who were the tourists that were trying to say the same word without the, maybe it was the accent that the sheep knew. No, they knew the word. Just like our sheep in New York knew sheep, you know? If we believe in Jesus Christ and choose to follow him for the rest of our lives, we are forgiven forever. And then as followers of Jesus with a new identity, we now follow him. That means we do what he did. Do you hear that? That means we do what he did. Live the way he did. Love others the way he did. Pray and know the Bible just like he did. How many times did he go away? Did he get up while it was still dark? That's not hard right now. It's dark, right? But how many times did he go away? For a whole day sometimes. 40 days one time. Didn't even eat. I do not know how that happened. I'm sure he had something to drink. But if God said to do it, would you do it? Read the Bible and study Jesus, who he is and how he lived. And then whatever you think you're hearing, you can know if it's God's talking. You can know, because it should make you more like Christ. Ooh, is what you're hearing, if it doesn't make you more like his son Jesus, it's not from God. That's a good one. Does it make you more like him, or does it bring you closer to him? Great. Check a couple of items to check off there. You can trust and know that you're hearing from God when whatever you hear lines up with the Bible and leads you to live more like Jesus. So we are sinful people still. We will be until the day we die. I can tell you I sin a whole lot less now than I did 35 years ago. But do I? You bet I do. Most of my sins are up here. Once in a while they're here, but most of them are up here. And it's the thought life, or not doing what God wants me to do, the omission. But it took time. It took reading God's word. It took working at it to clean up some of those areas of my life. We would never naturally think to ourselves something that would make us more like Christ and then affirm the Bible. That's how you know it's God, because these are some things that you wouldn't normally do, right? The Holy Spirit within us, as followers of Christ, is the one that speaks that way. I used an example one time, and I don't think it was this last December, but the December before, and there was a place on the radio that was a Christian place that was giving away a car for Christmas. And I, on the way, I thought, you had to write an essay, though. And I thought, oh, I can do that. I'm a pretty good writer. And so I wrote an essay of why I should win the car or something like that. And I remember telling God, you know what? If I win this car, I'll give this car, that old green Toyota that I drove, to so-and-so. And God said, if you win that car, give the new car to so-and-so. And I can tell you that was from God, because I would never think that. Now, I didn't win the car, and I think it might have been I was going to be tempted beyond what I was able to bear, perhaps. But that's how you know sometimes God's talking to you, because you wouldn't do what he's asking you. Sometimes if you're critical of yourself, you know God's talking to you, because you never talk to you the way he's talking to you. My child, I love you. You don't have to be afraid. I'm with you always. Okay? That's not the way. And so sometimes he asks me to do things I would never dream of doing. That's the Holy Spirit. Other times, he talks to me like I would never talk to myself, in gentleness and respect and love that I don't have for myself, because I can be too hard on myself. Praise God for making it clear to us how he speaks. And he will. There doesn't need to be confusion. Trust that. Trust. You got to believe first. Believe his word. And then trust him. Trust that he's going to keep his word. He's going to talk to you. And then obey what he says to do, of course, which is there. Okay, so, and what's it all for? Well, it ends with this. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, look at that, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We're approaching the end of the age. And there's the heart of it. How can he not walk with you and talk with you? He won't do that. He's not the silent partner. It's us and our fears and our habits and things like that that keep us from hearing him. We're at the end of the age, as I said. We need to listen more for God's leading now than ever before. It may come down soon, too. You need to listen to him for what you need to do hour by hour during the day, perhaps. And we can knock down these barriers, though, when we do it in our life that prevent us from hearing him clearly. And I'm going to leave you with this last verse that God gave me in Isaiah. But he's talking here to the whole nation of Israel. One of my favorite verses. And he's talking, because we've been grafted into Israel, he's talking to us too. It's in Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's not me. That's not your buddy next to you. That's God saying to believers, you will hear a voice, and he will tell you, go right, go left. Whether you're going right, left, straight, up, down, you've got this voice inside us. That's the Holy Spirit. Our ears will hear God's voice if we listen, if we listen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your promise that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, and you were with us until the end of this age, Lord. We need to hear you. I pray, I think of that song of open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Open my ears, Lord. Teach us to listen. That's what I pray for each one of us. Show me, Lord. Let me keep my commitment of Daniel 3 times a day and being in your word and listening. So God, I pray for each person today that as we leave, there'll be something that you will talk to us and go, well, you don't have to change your whole world. Just talk to me. Just for me, spend 3 times a day. Set the alarm on your phone. Use it for something constructive instead of something that is distracting. So God, I pray your blessings on each one, whether we're here in person or out there via our online friends, that you would bless us with a better knowledge of you and more obedience than we've ever done before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.